There's never been a better time than right now to be a musician.
Giddy hit Austin.
My name's Phil, and I just want to play rock and roll, man.
Tougher than the rest.
Just want to do things my own way, you know.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett on the P2 Podcast from beautiful Trinidad World Recording Studios, my beautiful studio here in Fort Worth, Texas. Apologies, fans. Apologies, it has been too long. It has been too long. You have been out there wandering the wilderness thinking, where is my beloved podcast? Where has Phil been? Well, man, I have been out there in the wilderness fighting the battle on all fronts. Just as all you fans have. Work, family, listen to my voice. Listen to my voice, man. I'm playing gigs every damn night, singing my lungs out. I'm hoarse, fighting the crud, fighting the cold. But what can we do, man? We are musicians. We are men. We are Americans. Onward, I say. Onward. So excuse the rasp in the voice, but the podcast is now returning in full force. Episodes from now on out might not be as long as we're accustomed to in years past, but that is all in an effort to keep fresh things out more consistently. At least 3 or 4 or 5 a month is going to be our new goal. Just some quick-hitting fun interviews, but you know, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes an episode, something like that. To help us to that end, folks, our old road manager, the world's biggest Aggie. Oh, it's so fun to talk some Aggie football, life in general, and so much more. He is here joining us today. Who else could we have at this new onset, this new birth of the podcast, than our good old friend Blake Walker?
Thank you.
How you doing, Walker, Texas Road Manager? How you doing, my friend?
I'm wonderful. I'm happy to be back. I love the beard. I wish
we had
a little video going on. I'll post something to Facebook.
Throw something on Facebook.
The Phil beard is mean looking.
Man, I have always been blessed with just the dark, even beard.
Oh, dude. It's
got some flecks of... Got a little silver in there now these days.
That means you're wise.
It means I'm wise.
That means people will ask you questions. It's a good thing.
It was always extraordinary because a lot of guys grow beards. They say, man, I can grow one, but I can't get the mustache going. Or I don't have the connection between the mustache and the beard. Or I have too much hair growing on my neck. It's always a fight.
I have zero. I can't
zero?
Grow
you have
anything.
No facial hair?
I get a few patches of molesterness, and that's it. I cannot even grow a mustache.
We're playing my friend Luke Coffey's party Friday night. It's a mustache bash.
Nice.
Movember kind of deal. Charity kind of thing. So we're gearing up for that. You know, so I'm going to – the plan is to shave the beard, keep the mustache for the gig. I'm sorry. I'm
tragic.
Sorry. That's the plan.
I want to see the
light. I already went through Thanksgiving dinner with my mother looking at the beard. It was torture. It was torture, man.
I love it.
Oh, man.
I want the 6 month just Moses.
Yeah.
I want the big, huge John Fogerty.
Well, you know,
bushy.
J.W. Marshall, you know, when he's been
getting big.
Full band, his bushy, man. It's bushy and thick.
I love it.
Yeah. So we've all grown it. Our drummer, Cody Frank's been with us now about 6 months. And
Where did Cody come from?
Frank is a good friend of the great Jeffrey West, who's a great guitar player friend of mine here in town, over at the Great Zoo Music, and recommended Cody. And Cody came in, did some shows. He's been doing these Tuesday nights.
Cool.
At Sundown at Granada in Dallas. We've been playing Tuesday nights. We're going to be there through the end of January, into January.
I heard it's a real classy joint.
Real upscale, real nice. Yeah man. God, they've got backline there. I was walking with my guitar, plug in, play.
Nice.
11 to 1. It's just a late night.
So no chicken wire.
No chicken wire.
Bottles
at you. No, they got really good food. Really good, like you know, breakfast tacos. They're always serving, and So, yeah, just catching up the fans. We've been doing the residency, man. I've been playing tons of gigs in Fort Worth and Dallas. I've just gone local, man.
Love it. Love
I mean,
it.
Why drive to my beloved Amarillo?
Right.
Or the venerable McAllen, Texas, for what I can make in Arlington or somewhere.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a big city. You know, they finally
well,
got
it
wise.
It is. It's just there's a lot of opportunities here. It keeps me at home. It keeps me working in the studio.
Love it.
I'm in this little phase right now, Walker. You know, for so long, there were so many questions. Every gig had many questions. You remember this. You were there for it.
Oh, yes.
Phil, we're playing at this venue here in College Station. We're playing at this venue. And the question would inevitably go out. Are you playing here too much? Are you playing here not enough? Are we charging too much? We're not charging enough. How come not everyone's standing at the stage? How come people don't stay for the whole show? How come people don't clap after every song? There was all these just, you were just inundated with analysis for every show.
And now you just don't care.
Man, it's just like, hey, Phil, we got this date open. We'd love to give you some money down the street from your house to come play. I'm like, great, I'll be there.
Yeah.
And I put it on the website, and that's it. I don't think about how many people are going to be there or what. It's just kind of like, look, man. And the gig, a lot of these gigs are like $5 or no cover. I'm just like, look, man, just come in. I'm going to be there. Shout out a request. And it seems to work, and it seems like no one's under pressure to show up or –
right.
Paid $12 and they got a park and you know what I'm saying? I'm just like, man, those wear on you after a while. We still do some shows like that. We do the Firehouse and the Surf Club. And I mean, we do our gigs, but.
Well, back in the day, we used to have the street team and we'd email the guys in the town to go put the posters out the week before,
man, just,
and send them an email with the prints on it. And it was go all
and
out.
And the fallout is when the gig is not as good as you hope,
which
is inevitably the case. Something could always be better.
Sure.
There's always a lot of fighting and arguing and finger pointing after the shows. Like, man, he could have done more. Or the merch guy wasn't there. Or this guy didn't do this. Or this guy didn't put it on the website. So in a funny way, if you just kind of eliminate all that, there's just no – you just show up going, look, man, I'm getting paid X. And hey, what man, I got a huge tip from this one dude, and this one guy bought 30 CDs. I mean, you never know what happens at these gigs, and so you go home, you're like, hey, it's great.
Isn't rock and roll about not caring?
I think
Isn't
it
that
is,
rock
man.
And roll
I think it
just
is.
Not caring?
Yeah, it's just not caring.
When Mick Jagger's snorting coke off a buck knife before he goes on stage, do you think he cares how many posters went out the night before?
I mean, in a grand sense, he does. He wants to be viewed positively, and he wants to be huge and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, I've actually got some interests from a friend of mine who manages the Mansion. I told you this.
Oh yeah.
The historic hotel in Dallas, the Mansion on Turtle Creek. And he goes, man, we got this bar. It's really happening on the weekends. He goes, now it's kind of an older Scotch kind of crowd.
Love it.
It's he goes, but man, you guys do some covers, don't you? I was like, oh man, we play some gigs. We'll play all covers. We don't care. And the pay is great. He's like, man, because I don't know if that'd be interested in doing it. He goes, but you guys would just kind of sit down the whole time, just play some covers and jam around, bring it whatever you want. I find myself, that sounds appealing to me.
Yeah.
Rather than, hey man, play this date. We'll charge $12 at the door. You're good for 150 people, right? And I'm kind of like, yeah, sure. And you know, on a Tuesday night, I'm just kind of like, geez, you know, I don't know. So
Open
anyway.
For Reckless and Stephenville.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Just
that kind of stuff.
You never know.
No
yeah.
one shows up. So anyway, these dates are more, you know, they're just kind of journeyman, workman-like gigs, you know. But
you got gray in your beard.
Damn,
you're an old, crafty, seasoned act. You know how to win the crowd over
anywhere
you
go. Yeah, man. So we do, and I just have fun. It's laid back, and man, I tell you what, it's nice to wake up with that money in your pocket, man. Mm-hmm. And my wife, she teaches, and. It's hard for me to say, man, I don't want to do that gig. She's like, man, that's what I make in like a week. You know,
yeah.
You're not going to go sit on your ass and drink a beer, play the guitar for a couple hours, you know, play Brown Eyed Girl or whatever they yell for. I'm kind of like, well, no, I guess I should do that.
Yeah.
I got five kids, Walker. Can I say no to anything?
No, you can say no to nothing.
No, I can say no to nothing. I'm just like, the date's open. I'm like, hey, I'll be there.
I'm impressed your wife's working. Yeah. I haven't mastered that. Yeah, my wife retired when she got pregnant.
Let me say this, too. Blake Walker is the proud new father. Of a new little girl.
Elam Suzanne Walker.
So, man, you're just, oh, God, you're back in the...
This is number two.
I see photos of me having my first baby.
Yeah.
Or my wife. She got mad if I said that. Of me in the waiting room, young, eager. I want to cry out to that young man.
Before
and say,
the bags
turn
go
around,
into the eyes.
For God's sake. of course, every dad is grateful as I am for your family. It's wonderful. But, man, you realize, you know, golf, money, all those things you thought you'd be doing are
hobbies,
all out the window.
They're gone. They're out the window.
I mean, it's just anymore. Next thing you know, you're a plumber. You're a mechanic. You're a yard man. You're destitute. And that's it. I mean, that's the reality of it.
I
say that with great love and with a sense of humor. It's just like, man, you just.
It's a beautiful.
If you're
balance.
Doing it right, that's what it's
yeah,
like.
Yeah, it's a beautiful balance of being check to check, having, you know, no savings, you know, a couple bucks in the bank, you get paid. It's, you know, life
right.
is good until all the bills are paid and you got $200 left. You're trying to make it work,
God,
but it
yeah.
is this beautiful balance of life changes and you see. Your purpose and what you're on this planet for. And, you know, I got a 3.5-year-old Campbell and a 2-month, 2-week-old Elam.
Yeah.
And it's awesome. I love them. I wish I had more money. You know, I wish it was easier. It is chaotic right now. I am a zombie. I'm tired, you know, but my daughter will always ask me, she'll be like she gets up as early as I do. I'll get up about 6 and I'll try to get ready and she'll hear me and she'll come running in. I want to watch Clifford. Pour me some milk. You know, she'll want to. And she's like, Daddy, why are you going to work? Daddy, don't go to work. Daddy, take me with you. Daddy, can I go to work with you? She doesn't want me to leave. And I'll have to explain to her. I mean, literally a couple days a week, I'll say, Babe, Daddy has to go to work so that we can pay for the house and we can pay for the car. And you and Mom can, you know, watch PBS
right.
Kids on
right.
TV. Like, I got to knock the rent out, you know. And so now she associates Daddy working with money, which is rightly so. That's why I do what I do is I don't care if it's crushing rocks. If I can get insurance and pay the bills and take care of my family, I'm just going to do that the rest of my life. But all my late night, you know, Texas country endeavors that I used to live at and all my albums I used to buy and
it's
all
over.
This, all the hobbies I had, hunting and fishing, they're gone, dude. They're gone right now. And it's okay. It's just different.
You know, along those lines, someone once said to me recently, you know, when you have an addiction, drug addiction, alcohol, when you start that, you stop maturing. You freeze in that moment in time because you're using that to deal with your problems, and it stunts your maturity as a person.
Sure.
So when you read Keith Richards' autobiography, as I happen to read the whole thing, but what started to wear me out is he's so proud of all this stuff. There's no remorse. There's
How
no
is he alive,
redemption. I don't
way.
Know.
Good Lord.
So it's entertaining and stuff on some level. This is the book Life by Keith Richards. But unlike the Johnny Cash autobiography,
right.
where he just comes to the Lord, he crawls into the cave and almost dies, and there's just your eyes are welling up reading the end of it because he realizes, man, I've got to move forward for myself and for my family, and he comes out of the cave. Richards is still in the cave, and so the book reads like a 17-year-old bragging about the cops busting up his keg party.
And you can see him smoking and drinking
while
he's
so proud
telling,
of it.
Yeah.
And that's fine. That's his image and everything. I think it's great. But it is a little bit like there's nothing to take out of it. You're like, yeah. So along those lines, raising kids, when you get onto something, you are in a state of suspended maturity or something like that.
Yeah.
And you've got to let those hobbies go. And like, you know, guys get really into music or guys get really into golf or they get into their work or something.
Yeah.
And they have a family, but if they don't let go of some of that, you don't mature. You don't grow up, you know, a little bit. I mean, they're just like, man, I'm still just doing my thing. You get around your buddies who are like that, and it is like they're still in college. They haven't moved on.
They're
still just dove hunting. They're dove hunting every weekend. They're shooting and just drinking like they did. They haven't – it's the guys – I'm speaking for myself that have kind of said, man, I don't do that quite as much. I'm home with the kids just in neck deep in the crap, you know. It's just like – but that's kind of where I am, and it's just like you do have to kind of move on and mature a little bit, don't you think?
And you have to enjoy it.
I mean, you do.
Like we say it all the time.
That's the result. You do it. You do enjoy.
I enjoy being at home with my kids. That's one of the reasons why we got along so well when I worked for you is I knew that when you were on the road – you weren't using drugs, you weren't cheating on your wife, and you weren't doing the things that a lot of guys were doing. You know, a lot of the other singers,
Walker.
And you know, I'm not trying to name any names
or point
fingers. I'm just saying
just
in general,
rock and roll,
it's easy, dude.
Sure.
It's like you know, Chris Rock says, you can only run so far before you pull a hammy. If a female is chasing a male, it becomes a very difficult temptation, and that's why we get along. Is your priorities have always been straight, even though your Saturday night persona is rock and roll and look like Keith Richards. But still, you've managed to balance being a faithful husband and a father and putting your kids first. And that's the way I look at my construction jobs. Yeah. Same thing. I mean, I don't, you know, it's a lot different temptation or things to do on a Friday night. But the same can be said. If you truly enjoy and love your wife, you're gonna die to yourself and put her for her needs first. And that's being a dad, and that's waking up at 4 a.m. and feeding the baby, and you know, that's biblical. That's in Ephesians when it says, you know,
We're just depressing fans out there everywhere.
Sorry.
You know, young men looking forward to their lives, thinking about getting married, they're like, God, this sounds terrible.
It is fun. I will admit it is fun.
You know, but it's funny because I get around some friends of mine who I know and that you know who are still playing music, and they maybe don't have a drug or alcohol addiction, but they're addicted to that life, that being on the road. And I am struck kind of by that when I get around them. They are talking about stuff that's important to them, but it's the same stuff that was important to them at 18. You know what I mean? But now they're 40 and they're still like, you know, oh, I got this award show and I got to meet this guy. And I'm just like, God, who cares? You know, I don't even think about that kind of stuff. But to each his own. I'm just saying, for me, I'm just like, gosh, I'm just, you know, it's almost like they're in a place that, you know, I left long ago, frankly. I mean, it's just like, God, I couldn't, if that guy walked in the room, I wouldn't even shake his hand. I wouldn't even care. I mean, they're showing me pictures of them meeting whoever, you know, I'm just like, man, that's really cool. But it's like they were 17 and not 40.
I think, you know, as a fan, you can appreciate the change, though, because if you look at, you know, your early stuff, your live, Phil Comes Alive album, okay, that's very 90s Texas country, drinking, dipping. I mean, it's at the time of your life when you were in that stage, a young man, I mean, that's what was going on. That's what was popular. But to look 4 or 5 albums down
it was real, man. It was real. That's what we were doing.
But it's cool to see, you know, if you have kids, you become a dad, or you go through struggles and ups and downs, and you see it in the music.
Yeah.
It affects the artist, and it's a beautiful thing to watch if you're a real fan. You see it in the music. And if you're following Toby Keith, he plays the same, writes the same song, plays the same stuff. Now, he makes a fortune off of it, but it's the same song, the same format, the same crap over and over again. Yeah. You know, Kenny Chesney and Tim McGraw are writing the same stuff they wrote, you know, 10 years ago. It's just put a different tune to it, a couple different lyrics. It's the depth that I enjoy from all of our favorite artists.
Sure.
It's the crap they go through. Some albums suck. Some of them are great, but they're different.
There's a fine line, though. There's a fine line. I'm very proud of the fact that I very consciously don't talk about or write specifically about my kids.
Right.
I mean, let's face it. Everybody likes kids, but no one wants to look at too many pictures of someone else's kids.
No.
No one wants to hear too many stories about, oh, guess what such and such did today? Because we got the same story. I mean, so I just, and I go to a lot of shows these days. We're old Keith Richards guys going, yeah, man, when my first daughter was born, I wrote this song. And just, it's never the best song they've written. It's just some smushy, I mean, there's so much of that. There always is, and that's great, and it's heartfelt. I'm not saying it comes from the wrong place, but I always feel a little disinterested out there when I'm like, oh, God, he's going to, you know, my life changed. First time I held you in my arms, I was like, oh, you know. And hey, it's sweet and all that, but I think you can still pull off some sense of maturity or growth without explicitly doing that. And some of those guys do it very well. I just personally, I've always shied away from that.
Right.
I don't know why that is. It just felt like kind of no one wants to hear this kind of deal. If it's too specific, I guess is my deal.
Yeah.
But you know, a lot of guys do it.
There's influence of your kids in your music. You have songs you have female characters in stories and songs that your daughters are named after and stuff like that.
That's probably right. That's probably right. Yeah, yeah.
There's some bleed over here and there. I mean, I Will Get to You, that's about your family. It's got to be about you.
Sure, right.
I mean,
not specifically.
Right.
There's no names. There's no...
Right. But it's a
song anybody can relate to, hopefully, and not be like, oh, this is Phil's song about his kid. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I try to keep it to where it's, hey, man, anybody could grab onto this.
I like it because I know you personally. So like when I when High Tide in the Heartland came out.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, to me, that song is about Roger's road manager passing away.
Yeah.
Right? But no one knows that. And a lot of people don't know
sure.
that. You know, a lot of people from the outside looking at it, like, that's a great song, and it kind of think it's about Katrina or, you know, whatever was going on at the time.
Right, right.
But if you were around the band at the time and knew when it was written and what was going on, that's what really intrigues me about kind of knowing the guys in the band and what they're going through. And when you're writing, I can kind of, for me, maybe if it's not even true, I'll read into a lyric or read it and say, man, that's kind of what's going on in his life right now. And I kind of look at it a little differently and kind of gives you an inside look at how it was written, I feel like.
But I think it does. Let me ask you this question, and this goes for all of us dads in the modern age. Our dads grew up, in the 50s or, you know, whatever. The message in my house was, your father's home. Leave him alone.
Oh yeah.
He needs to read the paper, sit in his chair, have a beer,
watch TV,
or a scotch, and watch the news.
Yeah.
Let him pat you on the head. My dad was the sweetest guy in the world, but there was some distance, some respect, some vaunted pedestal that he held.
Oh yeah.
He did not walk in the door and my mom just hand the baby to him and say, thank God you're here because I'm done. But that's what happens to men in our generation.
Yep.
When we get home, we don't hit the lazy boy. We know it's time to clean the kitchen, cook dinner, bathe the kids, and read stories. And we want to do that.
Sure.
I wonder, has that been a gradual decline for the American male? If you want to call it a decline, a change since the 60s, 70s. Has it been gradual, or was there a kind of a tipping point, a moment, a show on television, a prominent woman who, man, it's just going to be different from now on.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, Clint Huxtable, The Cosby Show, he didn't do any of that stuff.
No.
Everyone loved him, but he kind of came home. He was the doctor.
Oh, yeah.
He made some jokes. He wisecracked around, but he kind of... You know, took a little pinch of turkey off the bird and kind of pinched his wife's ass and laughed about. You know what I'm saying? Like this.
So we watched the Dick Van Dyke Show.
Yeah, exactly.
In my house,
okay.
And it was a lot like
that. Right.
It was,
sure.
My parents are stuck.
Father Knows Best. Leave It to Beaver.
Yeah,
I mean, all that.
Those the 50s and 60s.
Yeah, right.
In small town America, especially in small town Texas, like where my family's
but
from.
The Brady Bunch was 60s, 70s, and it was like that. I mean, the dad came home.
You're right.
And that's how our life was. I mean, where did it? What happened? Is it just as simple as women are working more? I mean, is that a huge part of it?
I think it revolves around pop culture and media and the growth of TV. And like you said, we grew up watching sitcoms and watching the dynamic. Like if you go look at I grew up on The Cosby Show and I grew up on Dick Van Dyke and Father Knows Best, stuff like that. But I also kind of grew up Home Improvement. That was one we watched when we were younger. And that was still kind of the wife stayed at home, took care of the kids. I don't really know where the transition is, but I got to believe that somewhere along the way, America kept being exposed to the wife working and the father taking on more roles, you know, at home that he didn't normally take. Cause you never see that on those 50s and 60s shows, on Nick at Night and Black and White like that, especially Leave It to Beaver. Ward smoking cigarettes in the study, and his wife bringing him a
God
drink.
Bless him. Oh.
Yeah, you never see that.
When Leave It to Beaver, when Jerry Mather, when the Beaver got up to eat breakfast, was his mom in a robe?
No.
Full dress, high heels, and pearls, a pearl necklace, making him eggs.
Yep.
By God. Now that, you know, I mean.
You've just alienated every female fan you've ever had, which
joking.
Is two.
I'm
There's
laughing.
Two of them.
I'm making a joke. it's just funny. I always remark at it. That one of the great – I watched all the Mad Men episodes. Caught up on that. And, you know, I mean, there's so many jokes in that, even though it's a drama. But when Don Draper comes home from work, lights up a cigarette and grabs a scotch and sits in his lazy boy chair – and the wife says, like, leave your father alone. He's had a hard day. I mean, me and my wife just start laughing. I'm like, it's just outlandish today. It's like, isn't that so funny?
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, but then you kind of think like, well, he's been at work all day.
Yeah.
He pays for everything. The wife doesn't work. Now, in cases where the wife works also.
Then it should be equal.
Here's what I see a lot of. Here's what I see a lot of. And this is what gets to some guys. who I won't name, but there are a lot of, if both people work, hey man, turnabout's fair play, 50-50 deal.
Sure.
Michael Lewis wrote that great book, what's it called? Home, I've talked about it on here before. Home Base, or Michael Lewis, the guy that wrote The Blind Side and all that. Anyway, about being a dad in the modern age. That's what it's about, man. And just how the roles are not defined. Back then, it was just dad works, mom stays home with the kids. End of story. But now, there is no line. Everyone works or works some, helps with the kids here and there some.
Sure.
So we never know. Hey, I got up yesterday morning. Is it her turn to get up? I don't know. I cooked breakfast yesterday. Hey, how come I'm always putting the dishes in the dishwasher? She never does.
Yeah.
Well, she works, but hey, I work too. Like, it's all even. And then you're out with some friends, and the couple says, well, hey, Saturday mornings, Greg always takes the kids so that I can go work out. And you feel your wife kind of give you a nudge, and you're kind of like, oh, maybe that's what I need to start. is that what we're doing now?
Yeah.
The rules are just, there are no rules. It's just home game is the name of the book, home game. I tell you what, man, I run into situations all the time when it really makes me think.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not saying it's bad. It's just there has been a real societal change in the role of men. And maybe it's just, you know, our parents, a lot of them are divorced. A lot of them came from broken homes. And maybe our generation's like, man, I just don't want to be the distant dad drinking the scotch.
Sure.
I want to be involved with my kids and pick them up from school and stuff. And I do think that's a big part of it. I think there is a conscious effort.
I think it's a good thing.
I think it is good.
I think more or less it's a good thing. I think it's a bad thing if you don't have good communication with your spouse.
Yeah.
And if it's done out of love, it's great. But if it's done out of spite and you're keeping score and you're telling your wife she doesn't really work, you know, my wife works. She's got a 3-year-old and a 2-month-old. That's
right, right.
Work, you know?
Yeah, sure.
And so it's how you treat each other and how you communicate with it is what makes it work. You know, there's ways – some families probably still do that, and that's great, you know. But there's a lot of families that don't. But it's all about the communication in between. And, you know, for me, I wish I had, you know, a good 5-10 minutes to come home and sit and not do anything. But right now in my life, I don't have that luxury, you know. It's okay. I'll live with it.
We'll get there one day, Walker.
Maybe, if I live that long.
We'll get there one day. Well, Blake Walker is here, folks. I hope some of these fans out here thank God Phil is back. And I got something out of that podcast, a little insight into his life, into Blake's life. But I want to call back to those running away thinking, man, I shouldn't get married. I should never have kids. And to those thinking, my gosh, has this turned into a marital counseling show? What are you doing, Phil? Hey, man, listen to me. I can hardly talk because I've been playing so much rock and roll. It's a thrill to be back, folks. A little hiatus, a couple months here, but we're going to hit it hard and heavy in 2013. If the Mayans are wrong, we're going to make plans. Just in case the Mayans are wrong, we're forging ahead. Blake Walker has been here. He's going to join us for a few more podcasts here very soon. We still need to talk some Aggie football.
Oh, you bet.
Some music and stuff like that. All kinds of stuff. Blake Walker's here. Thank you, Walker. Folks, call me Phil Pritchett. Phil@philpritchett.com. Email me. Book the full band. Let us come play for your private party. Or just call me. Come record here at the studio. Man, we just produced Peter Wagner. We produced Josh Fuller. We're going to do Seth Jones's project coming up here in a few months. And all kinds of exciting stuff. So call me, 817-733-5256. Come make the record here at Trinidad and Fort Worth. It'll be an experience unlike any other. Thank you, Walker, for joining us. We'll see you soon, my friend. Good to see you again, fans. We'll be out there playing lots of shows. Come see us. Until next time on the podcast, this is Phil Pizzu here. We'll see you next time. Much tougher.